Welcome to Rings of Power Reactions. I'm Aaron, your host and fellow Middle-earth wanderer. Here you'll find reviews, reactions, and deep dives into the lore behind Amazon Prime's Rings of Power. To go deeper, come wander with me on my main podcast, Lore of the Rings. Visit ringspodcast.com or find Lore of the Rings on your favorite podcast player. Now, let's wander Rings of Power. Every holiday season, we gather around the stories that matter, stories that endure. And what better way to carry those stories with you than with a ring inspired by Tolkien's Legendarium? Manly Bands has created the official Lord of the Rings collection, each piece designed with the care and detail you'd expect from a world that has shaped our imaginations for generations. I wear the Aragorn ring. It reminds me daily of strength, hope, and timeless courage. To find your exclusive discount code for 25% off your Manly Band, visit ringspodcast.com and tap the gold bar at the top. This holiday, give something that lasts longer than a season. That's ringspodcast.com and tap the gold bar. Amazon's Rings of Power is back! Yahoo! Today I'll be breaking down and reacting to the first trailer for Rings of Power Season 2. I'm Aaron, your host and fellow Middle-earth wanderer. And this is episode number 156 of Lore of the Rings. Please hit that subscribe or follow button and share this episode with a friend. Now, let's wander. All right, so I have watched this trailer a number of times. Yes, I even watched it at 0.25 playback speed just so I could get all of the details. And I've taken a couple of notes, but I just kind of want to share some raw feelings and things as we walk through this trailer. So if you haven't seen it yet, pop on over to YouTube or tap the link in the show notes and you can go ahead and check it out. It's only about 2 minutes long. The opening scene is we've got Halbrand walking back into Mordor, got Mount Doom in the distance. This is one of those final scenes from season one of Rings of Power after Halbrand had been revealed as Sauron. What this tells me, this is really setting the tone for season two. Season two is going to focus a lot on Halbrand, on Sauron, on the darkness, on the evil side of things. Where season one was sort of a mystery about, oh no, is there evil? What kind of evil is it going to be? Oh, it's like black goo on our special tree. Oh, we need the Mithril. That was all about season one. Season two, we're diving right into the nature of evil in Middle Earth. And I'm kind of excited for that, a little bit nervous, also excited. And then to drive that point further a little bit home, there's that Prime logo. It's set in like the gold color of the rings, but it's quickly consumed with sort of this black vapor, this black slime or something, some blackness that covers over it. So again, Halbrand walking into Mordor, lots of evil, black slime covering the golden Prime logo. This season is going to be all about the nature of evil and what it looks like in Middle-earth. And let's just drive it home. The third point, we've got the next very scene is Halbrand opening up. He looks pretty disappointed, pretty angry. But we also have Durin the dwarf claiming that an evil, ancient and powerful, has returned. Why exactly is Durin the dwarf? Why is he introducing this evil that is ancient and powerful that's returning? The dwarves are really considered more of an isolated race. They kind of stick to themselves. You might remember that line from Elrond in the Fellowship movie, like, the dwarves, they care for nothing, they stay in their halls. And you really see that in The Hobbit as well, that the dwarves are a really isolated, very prideful race. And so what evil, ancient evil, would they be aware of that the elves are not aware of? Nothing really comes to mind. Now you might be thinking, well, the Balrog, of course. Yeah, but the Balrog, they don't yet know that the Balrog is there. Plus, this theoretically takes place in the Second Age of Middle-earth, and the dwarves don't even discover the Balrog at Khazad Dûm until well into the Third Age of Middle-earth. So again, there's some time compression, confusion going on there, at least in my mind. But I don't know why Durin is the one who's saying, this is an ancient evil. That line feels like it would come more from Galadriel, or Círdan, or Gil-galad, one of the elves who have been around for, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of years. But, you know, maybe it's taken out of context, not quite sure. Maybe Durin does know something that Galadriel doesn't. Not likely, but maybe. Right after Durin, we get this slimy mass of snakes, roots, black goo worms. I don't know. I guess everybody's into worms these days. You know, you got sandworms from Doom. I guess let's do black evil worms from Middle-earth now. Not exactly sure what what this is supposed to be. This doesn't match with anything that I know of in Middle Earth. Maybe there's some really obscure reference to something in the letters or the history of Middle Earth, but this is completely new, as far as I know. Maybe have to do a little bit of research out of that. But it seems to be climbing out of a pit. Then we cut to Galadriel, and she is now with a new group of warriors, including Elrond. They seem to be surrounded in some foggy mists. There's some really, and I missed this on my first couple of times watching the trailer, but there are some shadowy figures in the background here that are surrounding them. They kind of have green glowing eyes. But this looks like a little bit of an intriguing scene. And we also get Elrond pulling out a sword. We're going to get Battle Elrond in this season. He's going to get a little bit tougher than just, the non-elf lord who's not invited to all the political councils of the elves. We're going to get Elrond in battle formation here. So that looks interesting. What these shadowy figures are, I'm not exactly sure. They could be wights of some sort. Wights, spirits that can come back and, take the form of a body of some sort. But, they look interesting. I don't know who any of these other elves are that are with Galadriel, but they seem pretty cool, you know? Avengers assemble around Robert Downey Jr. Just kidding, around Galadriel. Okay, the next scene, we've got, looks like some magic casting happening with some blood red hands, some fluttering leaves. Don't exactly know what these leaves are supposed to be. But we get overlaid the words, "He worms his way inside your mind, and the rest of him slithers in." Actually, when I listen to this, I can't help but thinking of Sean Bean and Boromir's voice, right? "He slithers his way into your mind." The visual here are some roots that are slithering over the ground. Look like they're going towards maybe Celebrimbor there. We don't really get to see a good look at the face. But the location here is what we might call the Memory Grove. I don't exactly know what to call this place, but it's that place where Elrond and Galadriel had a conversation in season one where there were like likenesses of elves that had fallen in battle or who had died. They sort of carved them into statues of the living trees. That seems to be this place. That'll come up again later on in the trailer. But for now, don't exactly know who this person is. A little bit intriguing there, but we've got these slithering roots with the words on top being, "He gets a little bit into your mind and then he just kind of slithers in a little bit. That definitely matches with how Sauron operates. He is a master of manipulation and deception. And it also fits with how Halbrand got into Galadriel's mind in that season finale of season one. And then the very next thing that you see are several orcs traveling through the forest. And if you look on sort of the right side of the screen, there's a ginormous troll there. So we're starting to see orcs and trolls banding together. We didn't get to see that in season one very much. Looks like there's some battle banners there as well as they move through the forest. Celebrimbor, again, now he's back in his workshop. He's got some really bright light going on there. And some dark figure is emerging from that. I think what we're going to see here, we're going to see a lot more of Celebrimbor, I think, in this season. Just basing this off of this one teaser, there's going to be a lot more scenes of Celebrimbor as we move forward. But we also get overheard, we also hear the words, "I think he has been here. He has been here or among us all along." And then we get this shot of a golden-haired male elf walking through. This looks like the place, what was it? It's not a region. I can't remember. He's walking through the town where all of the elf craftsmen gathered and where the rings were crafted. I can't remember the name of that town, but this looks like to be that place that this elf is walking through. There seems to be some chaos around, and he's got a straight face, but right before the scene cuts, he kind of sneers a little bit, like he's got this half grin, as if, yes, he's causing all of this chaos. Has Sauron been among the elves all this time? How deep does he go within the elves' council? And before you ask the question, well, wait, I thought Halbrand was Sauron, and wasn't Sauron the stark, black, mysterious figure? Yes, but remember, Sauron is a shapeshifter. He can change his body, his physical form, the way that you and I can change our clothes. Sauron can literally change his body. He can appear in a fair form, at least at this point in time, he can appear in a fair form. So absolutely, he could come to the elves. And in fact, Tolkien wrote about this, and Sauron did come to the elves in the form of Annatar, the Lord of Gifts. And Annatar. Elrond, Gil-galad, and Galadriel didn't trust Annatar from the beginning. They didn't quite know the full extent of who Annatar was or where he came from or what his intentions were. So they didn't trust him, and they sort of repelled him from some of the Elven lands. But Celebrimbor was actually very excited to bring Annatar into his little circle of friends, because Annatar showered Celebrimbor with knowledge, with secret knowledge about how to craft powerful things and imbibe them with a will of their own and with magic and with power. And Celebrimbor longed for that knowledge, and so he welcomed Annatar and learned a lot from him. So could Sauron appear among the elves as not just Halbrand, but also some other fair form? Yes, absolutely. So be prepared for that. And I'm also guessing that in this season, we might see 2, 3, 4 different forms of Sauron as we go throughout. And that might be one of the themes that you're going to want to look for is, I don't know if I can trust that guy. Is that guy really who he says he is? Or is that Sauron in another form? So then we cut off to the coast. There's some cliffs by the coast. We get the August 29. Just over 3 months away from the time of this recording and the release of this teaser trailer. You can't see it, but right in the middle of the screen, underneath the words, it looks like there's some groups of people that are there by the coast. That doesn't quite match up with any story that's coming to mind for me in terms of what lore this could be. So we'll have to keep an open mind on that one as well. We're not done yet. If you like this episode, please leave a review and share with your friends. And remember to subscribe if you haven't already. We'll be right back. Every holiday season, we gather around the stories that matter, stories that endure. And what better way to carry those stories with you than with a ring inspired by Tolkien's Legendarium? Manly Bands has created the official Lord of the Rings collection, each piece designed with the care and detail you'd expect from a world that has shaped our imaginations for generations. I wear the Aragorn ring. It reminds me daily of strength, hope, and timeless courage. To find your exclusive discount code for 25% off your Manly Band, visit ringspodcast.com and tap the gold bar at the top. This holiday, give something that lasts longer than a season. That's ringspodcast.com and tap the gold bar. And in case you love the slow motion horse riding of Galadriel, we're going to get a little bit more of that. Galadriel and Elrond riding on horses. Then there's a woman who is deep in the sea. I don't recognize her from anything. Might be a new character here. But it looks like there's a giant sea monster that's about to eat her. Tolkien didn't write much about sea monsters. I think there was like maybe a note or two on some maps that he had sketched out. But there's a little bit of reference there, but wide open space for interpretation there. Maybe this is that same evil beast that we saw in season one that kind of broke up the different rafts when Halbrand first connected with Galadriel in season one. We get the Stranger voiceover. Every soul in Middle-earth is in peril. Peril was sort of the Stranger's big word that he learned from season one from the Harfoot, from the Heartfeets, Heartfeet, Heartfoots. I don't know. Take what you will. But that was the word that he learned from those little interesting people. Every soul in Middle-earth is in peril. It's interesting to note this is the Stranger's voice, and we do get a little shot of the Stranger later on. But we do not get to see, at least in any clear indication, none of the Harfoots are here in this teaser trailer, which for me, that's a good sign. I didn't really like the Harfoots very much. I don't think they added to the story. They were very inconsistent and very wildly different from the Hobbits of the Third Age. And so I just don't think they really added a whole lot to the show. They were a major distraction. I think the showrunners perhaps thought, oh, we're doing an on-screen adaptation of Tolkien. Well, we have to have hobbits, so let's sprinkle in some hobbits. To me, it just didn't quite fit. There's plenty of Tolkien that you can do without hobbits and without the Harfoots. And so if we get a lot less Harfoots in season two, if this teaser trailer is any indication of that, then that's a positive point in my scorebook. Now we get to some bridges that seem to be collapsing. There's some big boulders falling. This looks like to be in Khazad Dûm. Khazad Dûm is in trouble. Quick shot of Lloyd Owen. I think that's his name. What's the character's name? Elendil here, pressing through a crowd of people back in Numenor. Galadriel screaming about something. Orc tasting blood. Lots of really unknown things here that definitely need a lot more context. But then we get overlaid the words, "Darkness will find them," with the visual shot of the three rings that were given to the elves. Now, this line is an obvious reference to the ring verse, which you might be able to say off the top of your head, but just for your reference, I'll quote it here. Quote, "In the land of Mordor, where the shadows lie, one ring to rule them all, one ring to find them, one ring to bring them all, and in the darkness bind them. In the land of Mordor, where the shadows lie." That's the second half of the ring verse. It's published at the beginning of every Lord of the Rings novel. But it's interesting to note we have the three keepers of the three rings here. Galadriel is one of them. Gil-galad, the High King, is the other. Who is that third one that bears the Ring of Fire, the red one? Narya, I think, is what it's called. I can't remember off the top of my head. But who is that keeper of the ring? It's not yet Gandalf. Gandalf will have that ring later on, and that's revealed in the Fellowship or in the Lord of the Rings. But the keeper here is actually Círdan, the shipwright, who is one of the most ancient elves in Middle-earth. He's even older than Galadriel. And rumors have been swirling about Círdan showing up in this season ever since some production photos were released a few months ago. So this seems to be a confirmation that, yes, we're going to see that third ring bearer of the Elven Rings, and that they will be bound together in the darkness. Now, this is where I start to get a little bit concerned, because I'm not super thrilled with a potential interpretation of in the darkness bind them, because I could definitely see the showrunners making some sort of a sophomoric type of argument. Like, see, there's darkness that they have to fight against, and then the three rings will be bound together and unified because they're going to fight against this common challenge, which that doesn't really fit with Tolkien lore at all. It completely misses the point that Elrond so clearly states in Fellowship, that Sauron's hand never touched the three rings, that they were completely made outside of his influence. The three rings are a league apart of the other great rings for a reason. However, the next visual that does show is that tree that was sick from the season one of Rings of Power seems to now be healed. The three rings are coming together. The black goo is sort of disappearing into like golden sap that we can assume is healthy for the tree, I suppose. And so that does fit with what the three rings were created to do. They were created to heal and to preserve, and we are seeing that visualization here. I just am not super thrilled with the connection of the three rings are healing and preserving and being bound together in the darkness. That connection just is completely outside of the lore of the rings. We're going to continue further on the journey of the rings. We've got Durin, the king of the dwarves, examining a ring with a giant blue gemstone. I don't know if that's one of the three that were given to the elves. This looks a little bit different. This is probably one of the seven that is given to the dwarves. We get some awesome fighting moves from Arondir. I think that was his name, the one elf from the Southlands. He's doing some great shots. And if you look really closely, you can see Isildur is back there. So Arondir and Isildur have teamed up. Isildur survived. Yay! We all knew that. Exactly. Hooray! And they seem to have teamed up and traveling through Middle-earth in some way. Then we come to Numenor. Numenor, that great island kingdom of men, the land of gift that was given to mortal men. And they are given another beautiful gift here, which is the eagles! The eagles are coming! In many cases, the eagles are emissaries of the Valar, of the great, of the High King of the Valar, Manwë. He was sort of lord of birds and eagles. The eagles were sort of his unique creation. And eagles are emissaries of the Valar. So in many cases, they could be a good sign. However, during the fall of Numenor, there were great clouds shaped like eagles that came out of Valinor, and they were sort of portents of doom for the men in Numenor. And that seems to be confirmed. You've got Ar-Pharazôn there standing between the people and the eagle. He's pulling out a sword. He looks pretty angry. Ar-Pharazôn, of course, in his hubris, in his pride, he thought that he could take immortality from the Valar. And he is one of the main causes, well, not one of the main causes, he is the main cause of the fall of Numenor, thanks to the whisperings of Sauron in his ear. So this visual representation of Ar-Pharazôn trying to block the people from the eagle and from the white tree down there, from these symbols of the Valar in the west, I think we're beginning to see that character arc of Ar-Pharazôn stepping into his pride and his hubris, leading to the fall of Numenor. There's an elven city that's under attack. This could be the siege. And again, this is that elven city that I can't remember the name of, where all the elven smiths gathered together and Celebrimbor crafted the three rings. This fits. Sauron did come during the Second Age. Sauron did come into this land. A region is the land, the region, did lay siege because he claimed he wanted the rings. He wanted the rings of power that he helped the elves to make. He wanted to claim those rings for himself. And in fact, he lays siege to the city and he will claim those rings, except for the three. Quick shot of Adar. We also see the stranger. It looks like he's in the desert. The desert is a land of Middle-earth that we have not explored very much. The desert is in the far east and in the south. And we know that the stranger and his little Harfoot companion, Nori, were going to go out into the east, into the land of Rûn. We might see a shot of Nori. It looks like it might be a Harfoot who is sort of in a sandstorm, maybe. She's no longer in Middle-earth. She's now on Arrakis, and she's hanging on for dear life, trying to get the spice out of her eyes. Sorry, I've been reading Dune lately, and that's been on my mind a lot. So sorry for all the Dune jokes this episode. Then we get to Galadriel. She's doing a double flamed arrow shot. We've got Elrond in full battle gear, leading an army of these look like to be elves. So, ooh, the elves are going to war. That'll be pretty fun to see. Then what we get after this is, to me, the most intriguing and mysterious shot of the teaser. So we've got Celebrimbor. He's in his workshop, standing over a flame. He looks injured. He looks exasperated. He looks somewhat regretful, but also he is somewhat longing at what he's doing. He's dropping golden rings into a flame. Now, I've tried to count these rings. They go by pretty fast, and they kind of blend together. I think there might be about 9 rings. Now, what's important about there being 9 rings? Well, 9 rings were given to mortal men. These were rings of power that were given to mortal men who would eventually become the Nazgul later on down the road. So, is Celebrimbor realizing to some extent his mistake in crafting these rings and in listening to Annatar, and he's trying now to destroy these rings in the flame of his workshop? I don't know. I'm really curious to know what is going on here. And so this to me is the central plot line. I want to follow the rings. What's going on with the rings? The show, after all, is called Rings of Power. And the Second Age is all about how these rings were crafted and what that meant for the Third Age of Middle-earth and eventually for the downfall of Sauron and the destruction of the One Ring. So this is the plot line that I'm most intrigued about. But we'll have to see what happens with these rings. And then finally, the great reveal. We've got that golden-haired elf again. He's surrounded by swords. There's an injured Celebrimbor looking on. And Galadriel says the words out loud. He is Sauron. Okay, so no questions. This guy is Sauron. Is he the only form of Sauron we're going to see? No, probably not. We saw a couple of shots of Halbrand at the very beginning of this teaser, and then we kind of see this guy. We're probably going to see Sauron in a number of other forms as well. But no big surprises here. He is Sauron. He's been there for who knows how long he's been there. And we're back to some more terraforming. So instead of the giant water hitting the lava and the volcano turning the Southlands into Mordor, we're going the opposite end of the spectrum. We're going Queen Elsa style, little flick of the wrist, and we're turning Middle Earth into Narnia, where it's always winter. Never Christmas, snow and ice everywhere, as opposed to fire and ash and dust. You know what? I'm sorry and not sorry at the same time for all the other little pop references here. Elsa and Dune and Narnia and whatever, whatnot. But I just kind of feel like there's a lot of stuff here that's going on, and I'm trying to reconcile. Does it feel like Middle Earth to me? In some ways it does. In some ways it doesn't. And I'm still struggling to articulate that a little bit. Does it feel like Middle Earth to me? I think is an outstanding question that we're going to want to explore. As Narnia fades back into the distance, we get the swirling golden O of the word of from Rings of Power, which seems like a really minor word to be emphasizing there, but the O is sort of twirling in a way that the ring twirls around in the air from the Fellowship of the Ring movie. And we've got Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power. Fade to black, teaser's over. So, overall takeaways. I am excited, but very nervous. I'm nervous that the story was so horrendous from season one that I have no confidence that it can actually be fixed. And there's nothing in this teaser that I've seen that suggests that the story is going to be any better. Except for the noticeable lack of Harfoots, which for me, again, is a plus. I'm not as excited for this season as I was for season one. part of that is due, I think, to the total lack of expectations that we had with season one, where everything was so new and clean slate, almost like the feeling that Bilbo's road verse invokes when you're on the start of a new journey. But I didn't find myself jumping up and down in my seat as I viewed this trailer. I had a much more critical eye, and I'll be the first to admit, I really, really, really want this show to succeed. I would love for nothing more than for this show to be a beautiful and life-changing on-screen adaptation of Tolkien's world for new generations of Middle-earth wanderers, just like Peter Jackson's movies were for me, you know, 20 years ago. But I have very little confidence in this show's ability to deliver on that hope. And so for now, I'm going into season two with much more trepidation and a far lower bar of expectation than I had just a few years ago going into season one. I predict that season two will be less of a mystery, where season one was all about discovering this new evil. Season two is diving right into it with a lot of clues and revelations just in this teaser alone. But the question will remain, just how deep has Sauron intertwined his snares into the plans of the elves? And what does that mean for the rings of power that Celebrimbor crafted? Well, join me in the next episode where we will continue our wandering of the Fellowship of the Ring and wander along with Frodo and his friends through the Old Forest outside of the Shire. Thank you for wandering Middle-earth with me today. My friends, if you enjoyed this episode, let me know by subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing with your friends. Follow me on Facebook or Instagram at Lore of the Rings Podcast. For feedback on the show, please email me using the link in the show notes. Until next Thursday, remember, not all those who wander are lost. Every holiday season, we gather around the stories that matter, stories that endure. And what better way to carry those stories with you than with a ring inspired by Tolkien's Legendarium? Manly Bands has created the official Lord of the Rings collection, each piece designed with the care and detail you'd expect from a world that has shaped our imaginations for generations. I wear the Aragorn ring. It reminds me daily of strength, hope, and timeless courage. To find your exclusive discount code for 25% off your Manly Band, visit ringspodcast.com and tap the gold bar at the top. This holiday, give something that lasts longer than a season. That's ringspodcast.com and tap the gold bar.